Please be quiet. Listen up, ladies. Listen up. All right, so this whole week, we've been talking about some things, talking about separation, talking about some ways that you can ultimately, if you're saved, first of all, your need for Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because you have a sin debt, and that your sins will ultimately send you to hell, okay? Secondly, that's the first way you have to ultimately separate, is understanding your need for Jesus Christ. If you're unsaved here today, that's the first place you need to separate from your sin debt. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Secondly, we've talked about how you as Christians here today need to start making some decisions and choices within your life. Ultimately, that's going to develop a consistency with your relationship with the Lord. But before we do that, guys, I want to talk about a great song that some of you got saved this week. Some of you joined the family of God. And there's a great song in this book that's called A Child of the King. And now you are a part of God's family. So let's turn over to that page I think it's like page 3 or something like that. Or page 2, A Child of the King. And hey, it's a great thing. You've joined a new family. You're no longer going to hell because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So we're going to sing about that. But before anything else that we're going to do, I'm going to open this up in a word of prayer, so let's bow our heads. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that we got to have with the kids this week. We want to thank you, first of all, for your sacrifice on the cross, which gives any of us the opportunity to just be alive today and enjoy the things that we enjoy. Help us, Lord, during this time just to do some reflection on, Lord, I know a lot of us probably came to this camp just to have some fun, and guess what? But we got some Bible and we got to learn about the Lord and what He desires for us as well within our life spiritually, and help us just to really focus on that, Lord, and understand that the things in this world are temporal. They're not going to last for forever, and we need to be setting things up for ourselves in eternity, in the life which is to come. We thank you. Please be with the seniors tonight as they're going to be speaking and preaching on some things that you put on their hearts, and help us just to lift up this time and just give you some praise and glory. It's your name we pray. Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, 279 on what it looks on there, but it's probably page 2. You can stand and join with me in singing. Let's stand up, stand with me. And I'll lead you along. It says, my Father is rich in houses and lands. Here we go. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. He covers our full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. All right, guys, I'm going to need a little bit more from you. You kind of sound a little weak. Lift it up. Here we go. Verse 2.
My Father, O Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them, but now he is reigning forever on high. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King.
Verse 4.
A tender, a cottage, why do I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I am saved. All glory to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King.
Amen. Revive us again. Here we here we go. Let's go a couple of pages over to And Can It Be? And Can It Be? It looks like it's on page 7. Page 7. Let me get an amen if you're there.
Amen!
And Can It Be? Page 7. Here we go. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. It's amazing, amazing love. How can it be that God, my God, just died for me? Amazing love. How can it be that God, my God, just died for me? Tis mystery, tis mystery, all immortal. Told us who can explore his strange design. In vain the firstborn's oh tries on that to sound the depth of love divine. 'Tis mercy all let earth adore. Let angels inquire no more. I'm sorry. 'Tis mercy all. Let earth adore. Let mine inquire no more. Second to last verse. Still, still the small inward voice I hear. That whispers all my sins forgive. Amen. Still the atoning blood is near that quenched the wrath of hostile heaven. I fail. I feel the light his wounds impart. I feel the Savior in my heart. I feel the life his wounds impart. I feel the Savior in my heart. No condemnation, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim Christ my own. Bold I approach eternal throne
and claim the throne
through Christ my own.
Yeah.
55
is?
65.
Oh, 65. Look for 65. 65. Yeah, it's the page. Those are going to be back there a little bit. 65.
for 1,000 tongues.
You know it.
Is this just a game of Jenga?
Huh? Honestly, it's the best part of it.
All right, before 4,000 tongues is seen. Well, actually, go to 65. We'll do that one next. 65. 4,000 tongues is seen. All right, how are we going to do this, my guys?
We got it.
I'm dripping sweat.
Wait, what?
All right, ladies and guys, how things are going to be split up. So I'm going to tell guys to sing at one point, then ladies at another time. So you do have to pay attention to me and how I'm going to lead you guys in this song, okay?
We're struggling.
We just can't find it.
It's 65.
Not bad. Can you give me a like?
Next song in the car.
Now I belong to Jesus is after that one. After now I belong to Jesus. 64. 64 is now I belong to Jesus. 65 is.
Got it.
64 or 65. The song is 4,000 tongues to sing.
Yeah, 4,000.
Sorry, 64. 64 or 65.
Just split.
It depends on what book you have. All right, here we go. Guys, my guys are going to start us off. Verse 1. Ladies, verse 2. Okay. Everybody, verse 3. And then I'll tell the ladies to keep going. And the guys, listen for me to tell you when to go on verse 4. If you know and you've been to Bible study on Thursdays, you know how we do it. So teach the other guys who are around you how we do it. So first verse, guys. Second verse, ladies. Third verse, everybody. And then 4 through 6, we're going to split off. Here we go. Gentlemen, 1, 2, ready, go.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the shrine.
Guys, do it again. Guys, do it again.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King.
Ladies, get ready, verse 2. My gracious Master, ladies!
My gracious Master and my God, thus it sleeps to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad.
Ladies, one more time. Ladies, one more time.
My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth.
Everybody, verse 3. Everybody, verse 3. Here we go. Jesus.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. Tis music in the sinner's ear, tis life and melody.
Verse 3, one more time.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. Tis music in the sinner's ear.
Ladies, keep singing. Verse 4, ladies.
He breaks the power.
Guys.
He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the flawless clean. His blood avails for me.
Ladies, verse 5, hear him.
Hear him, ye
deaf. Guys, hear him, ye deaf.
Your loosened tongues implode.
Yea,
but behold, your
Here we go. Glory to God.
Glory to God in grace and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church and earth and hell.
Good job, guys. I'm going to turn it over to Jerry. All right, y'all. Well, we made it through another year of camp for the most part. And now is my favorite part. This will be a treat to all of you. If you've got your heart set to listen to it, you guys should be able to at least be happy. It's one less old dude talking to you today, all right? Amen. Right? You get to hear from your own classmates, the people that you could be in just a few years if you so choose to do so. We're going to have Caleb come up here in just a second. I'll pray him in. But then you give him your attention, because he's what you could be if you want to someday and you put your mind and heart towards it. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've given us. I pray you bless this evening. Bless the words to Caleb. Work through him. Make him a channel for you, Lord. And let us all have our hearts ready and willing to take what you've given him, Lord, and apply it to our lives. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Boo Boo, get up here.
All right.
Let's go, Boo Boo!
Yeah!
And
hey. Alright, can you guys hear me alright?
Yes, sir!
Alright. Alright. So, in this world today, there's a vast difference between Christianity that you find in the Bible and Christianity that you find here in modern churches. What we need today is something that will get us through the fiery trials of life. And because of that, I've chosen a very familiar story. Bob talked about it today. It's when Daniel, or the three friends, go into the fiery furnace. And I won't spend too much time explaining it because you guys kind of already heard it. But basically, Nebuchadnezzar makes a law. And whenever you hear the music, you have to bow down and worship this huge golden image. And these three boys, he hears about this. He hears about these three men that stood up against his law. And at this, he's filled with rage and fury at the three boys. He gives them one final chance to bow down to this golden image. And their response in verses 16 through 18. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And if he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Nebuchadnezzar then commands the officers to turn the furnace up seven times hotter. And then he binds up the three men and throws them in. It was so hot that the officers that threw them in were also killed by the heat. When Nebuchadnezzar looked at the fiery furnace, he saw something so amazing that it shook him to his very core. So I thought it would do us all some good if we looked into that furnace and see what we could see. Here's a few things that I saw when I looked in. The first thing that I saw was their conviction. When they faced Nebuchadnezzar, they replied to him basically by saying, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he chooses not to, we still won't bow down to your stupid statue." John 8:9 is the only place you find the word convicted in the Bible, and conviction is basically another word for guilt. When you are born, the word of God is written on your heart, and anytime you sin against God, you feel that sense of guilt. Do you remember the first time you told a lie? You were scared to death that you were going to get caught. Why? Because on your heart is written, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Have you ever stolen anything? The first time you felt so guilty. But haven't you noticed the more times you did it, the less conviction you felt? In the Bible, that's called searing your conscience. In time, if you're not careful, you won't feel any conviction, and you'll lose touch with reality, because conviction is normal. You should feel bad when you do something wrong. That's normal. Some of you might not feel guilt anymore for sinning because you have gotten so used to sinning against the Lord that you've lost touch with reality. Maybe some of you are feeling that conviction because of something that was preached this week. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23. And basically what that's saying is all of us here have sinned.
We are all guilty before God. I have one question for you. What are you going to do about that sin? You can easily be forgiven of your sins. If you want to know how, ask someone here before this night is over. Don't wait another second. Do you really want to spend the rest of your life convicted by your sin? Or do you want to be forgiven? The Bible word for conviction is convince, which means when you go to a court, they're trying to convince a jury or a judge that a person is guilty of a crime. But we also use the word in the sense of having strong opinions that you're convinced of. A fighter that steps into the ring with overwhelmed confidence that they're going to win, they're convinced of it. That's conviction. And when I look into that fiery furnace, I see three men that have conviction. The evidence that they're willing to die for what they believe in is overwhelming. And let me ask you this. For those of you who claim to be saved, if there was a law against being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? The second thing that I saw when I looked into that fire was their consecration. And consecrating in the Bible basically means dedicating something to the Lord. And in that context, they were dedicating themselves to the Lord. An early Christian martyr in 107 AD by the name of Ignatius of Antioch, when preparing to be martyred, said, "I will look forward with joy to the wild animals held in readiness for me. I will coax them to devour me so that they may not, as happened in some cases, shrink from seizing me. I am God's wheat, and I am ground by the wild beasts, that I may be found the pure bed of Christ." This man was consecrated to Christ, and so was ready to go through whatever he had to go through. He did whatever he had to do in order to be obedient to his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look into that fiery furnace, I see three men that had consecrated their whole heart to serve God. And it showed. They were ready to lay down their lives on the altar of God just for a chance to be used of Him. They wanted to serve God with all of their hearts. Leviticus 1:9 says, "In order for an offering to be a sweet savor unto the Lord, the priest has to burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice. Not most, not part, not 99.9%. In order for something to be consecrated to God, all must be on the altar." There's a great hymn that we sometimes sing in church called "Is Your All on the Altar?" And I have a good verse here from it. It says, "You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid." These three men had put everything on the altar for the Lord. And have you? Is your all on the altar? Do you have a real peace, real rest, and real blessings in your life? If not, why not? Maybe it's because you're holding something back from God, refusing to yield it over to God. People should look at you and see Jesus Christ shining through as a light that shineth in a dark place. What does the world see when they look at your life? Psalms 119 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I also read today in Numbers 13:9, it says, "Seek not after your own heart." I know that a lot of my early life as a Christian, I got saved in a camp in 2015, just like this one. But after that, I fought a whole battle of me just battling myself. I was just going through the motions of church, but my heart wasn't really involved in it. I sought after my own heart and my ways to please myself, and I didn't value God like I should have. Maybe that's where you find yourself right now. We find ourselves in a day and age where most Christians are lukewarm. Most Christians aren't on fire for the Lord. They will sit right in the middle of God doing an amazing, they'll sit in the middle of God doing something amazing and do nothing about it. But if you want to be like these three men in the fire, not just make a difference in your own life, but in others as well, then you need to give your whole heart to God. You need to be consecrated for the Lord. The third thing that I saw when I looked at them was their faith. These three boys believed and trusted that God would bring them through what they had to go through. In 2 Timothy 1:5, the Apostle Paul told Timothy that the deciding factor that made a difference in his life, that set him apart from the rest, and that was called his unfeigned faith. To feign something means to fake something, and if a person feigns ignorance, it means they're playing dumb. Timothy Timothy's faith wasn't just an act. It was all real. Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter where ordinary men and women, just like us, were able to do extraordinary things because they simply believed the promise that God had given them. Abel, even in the face of death, wasn't afraid to worship God with the very best that he had. And you know why? Because he trusted that God would honor his promises. His faith was real. By faith, Enoch was willing to walk with God at a time when nobody else wanted to walk with God. His faith was real. By faith, Noah did a work for God at a time when nobody else wanted to do anything for God. His faith was real. By faith, Abraham was willing to wander for God at a time when most people just thought about themselves. His faith was real. In modern Christianity, there's a huge line down the middle between people who have a profession of faith, basically they say they believe, and people that actually believe with all of their heart. Only time will tell what side they're really on, whether it's mere words or true biblical faith. Faith is a strong trust in God's words. Strong faith comes from exercising the faith, and that starts in your heart. It needs to be worked out. Real faith demands action. If your faith was real, you would be like Abel, who wasn't afraid to worship God with the very best he had. If your faith was real, your faith could be seen in your feet as you walked with God, like Enoch did. If your faith was real, your faith could be seen in your feet as you walked with God, like Enoch did. If your faith was real, your faith could be seen in your hands as you did a work for God, like Noah did. Real faith starts on the inside and it works its way out. Romans 4, 18 through 21, and this is talking about Abraham, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." That's the kind of real faith that I see when I looked into the fiery furnace. And then the final thing that I see was a real witness. When Nebuchadnezzar looks into that fiery furnace, he sees something weird. He questions around him. Bob said it today. He questions around him. He's like, "Wait, didn't I just throw three people in the fire?" And they're like, "Yeah, we did. Why? What's up?" He says, Why do I see a fourth man walking in the midst of that?" And it says, "And the fourth was like the Son of God." These three boys come out of the fire without a hair singed or the smell of smoke on their clothes. Because of what Nebuchadnezzar saw in that furnace, he changes the law to say that if anyone speaks against the God of Israel, they shall go into that furnace. Because what they had was real, Nebuchadnezzar saw something real. Because of their real conviction, because of their real consecration, because of their real faith, Nebuchadnezzar saw the real Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, let me leave you with this one thought. When those boys were cast into that fire, if their convictions had been just like your convictions, would Nebuchadnezzar still have seen Jesus Christ? If their consecration had been just like your consecration, would Nebuchadnezzar still have seen Jesus Christ? If their faith had been just like your faith, would they have still seen Jesus Christ? If what you have isn't real, you'll never make it out of the fire. If what you have is real, the fire will reveal Christ in you. The hope of glory is what you have real. That's it.
Know him well enough to sing one without the papers?
We can do "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul."
Hey, there we go. We got that. Let's start us off on that one.
All right, guys. This is a simple song. It's called "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Thank You, Lord, for Making Me Whole. Thank You, Lord, for Giving to Me Thy Great Salvation So Rich and Free." And we'll just repeat it a couple of different times, but it truly is something that we can be grateful about. Caleb did a great job of talking about the fiery furnace, and some of you got saved from that fiery furnace this weekend, and honestly, it's a great thing that you can say thank you to the Lord for, because think about that. This fire, I know you all feel that heat on the outside of this campsite, right? I know I felt it over there. But imagine this fire, you feel the heat, I'm close to it. I'm already sweating and burning up. But imagine being in something that's a billion times, a billion times, a billion times, a billion times hotter and never leaving it. And never leaving it. And the Lord saved you from that.
Amen.
And He saved you from that. That's something to be grateful about. So this song, once again, is called Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. So stand up with me and we'll get it singing. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Repeat it one more time. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Last time.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
All right, guys, we got one more for you. You can go ahead and take a seat. Caleb did a fantastic job explaining something to you. I think it's funny that these days there's literally an app called Be Real, because people realize that being real is kind of a novel concept. I hope you think about what he said. I hope you think about what Jordan's about to say too. Jordan, go ahead and get on up. I'll pray for you while you're walking up. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I pray you give Jordan the words to say. I pray you just bless our hearts with his words and bless our hearts with what you've given him. And most of all, Lord, let us apply them. Let us not just hear them, but see what we need to implement in our life in the mouth that you've given him. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Well, in the wise words of Jared, daggum. It's bright light, I'm sorry. Hold up. There you go, now you can see me, but I can't see you.
Camp 2023. It's kind of crazy that I've spent my entire life in this youth group and in this church, and I've seen people come and go, but I've never seen a youth leaders that we have right now. You know, these people are so involved in our lives and take time out of their days just to be there for you, to talk to you about any conversation that you have or any conspiracy theory that you're thinking of during that day. And they just explain it in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of churches out there that, you know, pastors will say, hey, you need to listen to this, like, only this, only that, you know, nothing outside of this, there's no other way. But, you know, with these people that we surround ourselves with, they give us multiple answers to everything that we have. There's not just one answer to one thing, and it's just a great thing to see and be surrounded by. But anyway, my devotion tonight is kind of based around this one quote that I found. And sad enough, I heard about this quote on Instagram, but you can even use the bad things in the world to make a devotion out of. And the quote is simply, if you want to buy something without looking at the price tag, you have to be willing to work without looking at the clock. And that's a huge thing to when you translate it into the Bible. Right, because we all pray for those witnessing opportunities that we want, and hopefully that we will get someday to talk to our friends about, you know, about God and what He's done in our lives, or, you know, just that random person that we see walking, or that homeless person that we see on the street. But how are we preparing ourselves for that? Are we saying, oh yeah, I know a couple verses, but do you know what those verses mean? do you know like what exactly in the Bible where it says this when they ask you a question? Do you know what you're doing, how to navigate your way through the conversation, ultimately lead them to the Lord? Right, and Kenzie kind of talked about this the other night, or our last youth event, reaping what you sow. And that's kind of what this quote made me think about. And in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall have the Spirit reap live everlasting." Right? And one thing that recently we have done to show reaping and sowing is our sweat test, right? For those of you who don't know what that is, because you haven't been, you haven't been in youth group, which is okay, because I know people have complications going on and stuff. But sweat test is basically Jared and Kinsey brought up this plan to take us through the Romans Road. The Romans Road is the steps to getting someone saved and leading them to the Lord. You know, and it starts off with understanding what, what witnessing is, right? Proverbs 11:30, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, right? The key to witnessing and the soul winning is, soul winning is the fruit of our relationship to God, okay? And that's the number one thing before you can start anywhere. But as we went through the sweat test, we had an acronym that we went through. It's called SWAGGER. A lot of you here know what that is, and a lot of you have taken the test and passed, thankfully, because, can't go out of youth group not knowing what we're doing. But, the first part was SWAGGER. That stands for sin. And, right, that's in Romans 3:23 is the key verse for that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned, right? And you hear that verse and you think, yeah, okay, everyone sins, but like, and everyone comes short of the glory of God. But you don't realize how true that verse is until it starts happening daily in your life, right? You go out to, hang out with a group of buddies, or, after practice at school one day or something like this, and you hear a dirty joke and then you play along with that. That is not at all what we need to be doing. Amen. Right? We need to be that witnessing opportunity, that leader, and tell them, hey, that's not what we should be talking about. Let's think about this instead. Let's think about how we can, focus on this game or whatnot. And in that step with sin, you have to convince that person that they're a sinner, that they have a sin debt. And the next part is the WA in SWAGGER, which stands for wages. And that's Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And in that part, we have to get them to realize that they have a sin debt that they cannot pay themselves.
Amen.
Right? You can't, it's not like, within Timothy, you have Bible bucks that you can just go pay it off throughout time. It's not that simple, really. You can't do it yourself. Only one person can.
Amen.
And, and the next step is with gifts. And that's making that person realize that they have a gift from God that God has given to them. And that's putting his son on that cross. And that's Romans 5:8-9, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Amen to that.
Amen.
There's no better feeling than, God pouring out his love and putting his son on that cross for our sins, for a sin debt that we cannot pay. And, it's just an amazing thing knowing that. But we have to get them to know that first. And then the last part is response. That just seeing how, get them to understand, they're a sinner, that they have a sin that they can't pay, and that's Christ who paid it for them. That's Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." In verse 13 it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And some of you haven't done that. Some of you, which is, understandable, some of you haven't done that, haven't asked Christ into your life, and haven't, fully committed your life toward him. I know that was an amazing time for me. Caleb and I got saved on the same day in 2015, July 9th. It's been 8 years. And it's just a great celebration knowing I get to share that with him and share that, you know, and keep living my life for God. But, you know, as we go on through the sweat test, that's no joke, right? We can't just, you know, say we know that and then go on without it. You know, just go on life saying, okay, repeat these verses over and over, because you're going to come across situations where you're going to have to think of something else, or another question is going to pop up, and you're not going to be able to explain it because you only memorized those verses, right? But when you do get in that situation, like what Mackenzie talked about, it's called planting and watering, right? In 5 and 8. I won't read. I'll just read verse 8. It says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Right. So in that it said, for, you know, doing your own reward, you get your own labor. You know, Bob, he talks about all the time how he's had 50 years in the ministry. 50 years in the ministry, that's a crazy long time, and he's really good at it too, as you've been hearing throughout this camp. But that's because he took from what he learned from Mel Sabaka, who was his father in the Lord, and he put that into his life. He didn't take what Mel Sabaka was saying. He took it in, but he didn't say the exact same thing, because if he said the exact same thing, he wouldn't know probably what he's talking about. But he took that out, and he studied the Bible. He took his time. He put his life into that Bible, and just made it who he is today. And that's the reason why so many people have committed their lives to the Lord, because of his teachings and what he has done, because of that day that he took out of his life to, you know, ask God into his life to become his personal Savior. And you know, there's so many other people who have done that too. You know, I look up to a bunch of people here at this church, because, you know, there's everyone here literally is an amazing person to look up to. You got Alex, you got Jared, you got Kinsey, you got Erica, you got Taylor, you got Sarah, you got Carolyn. You got so many people here that you should look up to. And I look up to them all the time. Another ones that I look up to, Dylan King, Damien, you know, Dalton, the Bronis brothers, because they came from bad lives. They had a lot of problems going on in their life, and once they came to the church, I honestly didn't think they were going to last long, because I heard their story. But here they are, doing the absolute best for those Timothy kids, and that's the best thing for them, right? And we need that in our church, because who else is going to raise up the little children when you know, everyone's focusing on the youth group? They're taking their life and turning it around and making something out of it. And that's one thing I'm looking forward to when I leave youth group. It's going to be a sad day, but I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, it's, and one thing, like, people also in my life, they're, my buddies Luke and Christian, I keep talking about in Lifeline a lot. I brought Luke to softball and volleyball, and he's starting to come around, but he's, you know, he's starting to listen to devotions every now and then, but he's moving away for college for a couple years, so it's just going to be a hard situation. But the way that I have changed Luke and Christian, not saying I'm a good person, that, you know, I deserve all this glory, but I have changed the way that they act, right, just by simply bringing them to these things and talking to them about the conversations and about anything that's going on in my life that I can share with them. When I first met them in 7th grade, the only reason we got along is because we all like cars and Fast and Furious movies and all that. But, you know, as time went on, I was scared at first, me in 7th grade, trying to talk about the Lord to people. But I started working in their lives, and they no longer go to parties, they no longer drink, they no longer smoke anything, vape or whatnot, because of the Lord. That's not my work, that's the Lord's work that's going on right now. And it's just an amazing thing to see. But, you know, I had the opportunity to go on to the Timothy Lake trip about a month ago now. And we were there on a Sunday, and Damien Johnson, he preached a message, and it really stuck to my heart. You know, he talked about how you have to do your own work, right? You can't be like Bob or, you know, like Jared, you know, like any other leaders that we have around us, you can't do exactly what they do because you'll get nothing out of that, right? Don't really compare yourself to them either. The only person you should be like is Christ, and that's exactly what they're doing right now, and that's exactly how they're leading their life on and going throughout it, right? And in Galatians 3, back to the what we were looking at earlier. Sorry, hold on. It says, "For if a man thinketh to himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And if you think that giving the same message that someone else just gave because you thought it was good and you think it's going to be good, you're not having the right heart attitude on that. That message needs to reach nobody but yourself when you give that message. Amen. Right? Yeah, it's good that it does reach other people, but you're mainly trying to better yourself on the inside. And you can't do that by giving someone else's exact words and the exact message that they just gave. Okay? It would be nice if it was that simple, but it really isn't. It's doing your own work. Like in the verse in 1 Corinthians, I think that was. Yeah, 1 Corinthians, talking about do your own work and receiving your own award, a reward, right? And within that, obviously comes the biggest distraction, which is the world around us. That's the biggest thing that we have right now. And, you know, we have small distractions going on, no matter what it is, you know, whether it be, you know, this girl that you like or this boy that you like, you know, it, literally anything possible. And I find myself having distractions all the time. I find myself wanting to, you know, research something about cars, which is a unhealthy habit that I have every day of my life. That's really the biggest distraction that we have. But the second biggest thing that we have is that procrastination that we have in our hearts and our minds. Right? We always talk about, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. You know, I'll start studying the Bible, like, after camp, you know, after I get right with the Lord. No, you need to get right with the Lord that day and that night. Amen. Right? You can't just go on and on, because like with me, I keep saying I'm going to go to the gym the next day, and that was 7 months ago, I promise you. And it's been a long time. But you know, that procrastination will kill you no matter what. Amen. Right? You with this you know, with this sweat test, you can't procrastinate on what's going on in that. You got to be ready always to give an answer, like what Bob or Herb talked about. Right? And yeah, but once we go out of this camp, that's when the world's going to hit us, okay? And we have to be ready to give an answer. We have to be ready. Because out of these gates that are around us, once we hit that highway right there that these cars are driving on, that's when it's starting. That's when it's coming. And you don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come. And it could be with a family member in your life, or with your closest friend, or even somebody that you're sitting next to right now. But that's up to you to decide if you're going to stand or not. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, you can't mimic what someone else is doing, right? And that labor that in 1 Corinthians is talking about that you have to do on your own, that labor is that day in and day out, getting into your word, and witnessing that person right next to you. You know, it's not, you know, okay, yeah, I got this verse memorized. Okay, yeah, I did this study. It's about what you're going to take from that verse, or where you're going to take from that study to better yourself. And that labor, getting in and working in someone's life like these leaders are doing to us, they do it to me all the time. They're working in my life and bettering me every single day, every single chance that they can. And I'm very thankful for it. I don't know where I would be without them and, you know, my family that I have that are constantly getting on me to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing. And, you know, but you also got to realize when you're trying to work in someone else, you got to make sure that you are right yourself. You can't just go out and say, okay, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, I'm saved. But you can't just go out and witness to people and say, yeah, I've heard about this. But then they ask you, where's that in the Bible? And you're like, I don't know. I just heard about it one time, so I'm just saying it to you. Okay? You can't, that's exactly, I'm going to be honest, that's what happened to me before with Luke and Christian. I've been caught in that situation so many times, it's embarrassing. And I'm sure people around you, the leaders around you too, and they'll tell you their story too. But it's about getting to your word and doing that manual labor yourself. You can't just hear from someone, say, okay, yeah, that's good. I'm going to go off with that. No, you have to get into that Bible and put those notes in. That was part of our sweat test. We had to show notes that we were putting into our Bible so that we could be ready and go to, you know, have backup verses and whatnot for every step that we had to go through. And that's key to what's going on. But, you know, if you, like what Alex was saying, he kind of stole what I was going to say at the end of my devotion here. But with this fire right here, right? You know, you see, it is hot, and every time the smoke comes towards you or the heat comes towards you, you move the other way, right? What happens, like Alex just said, what happens if you're stuck in that? There's no moving away from that, right? You're going to be crammed all in there, someone else right beside you, and you've got nowhere to go. And some of you don't realize that, how severe that is right there, how severe that fire is right there. It's making me sweat right now, and I sure do not want to be down there. You know, thank the Lord, I'm going up to heaven. I'm going to be with Him for eternity. And it's just an amazing feeling. It gives me chills. I have goosebumps right now just talking about it. And it's an amazing thing. You know, just it's literally just amazing. It's the best thing that you have. But back to that quote that I was talking about earlier, talking about if you want to buy something without looking at the price tag, you have to be willing to work without looking at that clock. And if you want to be witnessing to those people and spreading the word, which I sure hope you do, because I know I do, you just got to be getting that, you got to be working nonstop. It's not, I'm going to read this for 15 minutes or for 30 minutes, or I'm going to listen to Bob for an hour and 15 minutes on Sundays and, you know, in an hour and a half or whatever on Thursdays or in a youth group. It's about personally getting into it yourself. You know, nonstop reading. If you have a day off, lucky you, you got to read your Bible now. Right? You know, it's that non-stop work. And it's that's really all I have. But I just want to say thank you to each and every single one of you guys that are here, because you guys have been a huge part of my life for the past however many years. And it's just an amazing thing to know I can rely on you guys, and to know that I can go into Timothy being prepared and ready always to give an answer to those little kids each and every single time they have a question to ask me. So.
Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you so much. I'm not gonna lie, this week has been it's been amazing. But I've kind of been sad this week. My heart's been heavy, and I'm not looking forward to my seniors leaving this group. Quick show of hands. With Kenzie's message, and Caleb's message, and Jordan's message, and the way that they've treated you and helped you through all these years, how many of you have been impacted by our seniors this year? Basically everyone's hand. Do you guys realize that's the power of a youth kid that wants to give their life to the Lord? I'm not excited to lose my seniors. They're my friends. They're my brothers. I've been thinking all week about the fact that when they walk up those stairs out of this little pit we're in, this is the last thing they're going to hear from me as their youth guy. They're no longer a part of this ministry. And I've been thinking all week, who's going to take their place? Is it you? Christians, when we walk up those stairs, which one of you is going to walk out my new youth leaders? The new Christians I can depend on to help me bring up the younger kids. I keep thinking about the fact that down here, do you guys realize that, I guess the way you could put this is that this is the final battle of camp. You might not realize that there's a spiritual battle going on, but this is it. When we walk up those stairs, it's all over. We're cleaning. We're busy. This is the last stand, the last charge, the last chance that you can give the Lord to work in your heart before you go out there and get distracted again. Now here's the question. Are you going to walk down up those stairs the same way you walked down them? AJ has a famous message he preached here, right? A senior from many years ago. And that message revolved around the phrase, almost persuaded. And praise the Lord, there's been a lot of you that have been persuaded this week. I've heard a lot of good plans on how you're going to go back to life and serve the Lord. I've seen a lot of people get saved this week. But I know that not everybody's been fully persuaded to this point. Down here is your last chance at this camp to let the Lord touch you. Your last chance to form a plan. Your last chance to change something before the devil gobbles up your brain as soon as you walk out those doors. We're going to take some time here. We're going to have some s'mores, have some fellowship. The Holy Spirit's been putting something on your heart. I'm pleading with you. If you're a Christian, give it to Him. Whatever He asks for. If it seems like I'm angry, I'm not. It's mostly because I have to yell.
Be angry.
But I am angry. Not with you guys. With Logan. I'm angry with Logan now. I'm not angry with you guys. I'm angry with the way that this world just chews you guys up and spits you out.
Amen.
I'm angry with the fact that every stupid activity we take part of that takes us away from the Lord,
Amen.
That eats up your time.
Amen.
You don't come to youth group. You don't come to church. For what? I was a band kid in high school. Alex was a D1 track athlete. Guess what? We're both here!
Amen.
In 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years, you won't even do that thing anymore. It won't matter!
Amen.
Christians, don't walk up those stairs the same way you came down. Make a plan. Get it right. We have more than enough counselors to talk to you. Make a difference. And any of you that don't know where you're going when you die, I feel for you. I was there. We all were there. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. If it's a matter of questions you have, ask someone. If it's something you don't want to give up, please, I'm begging you. You're not promised tomorrow. You could be gone on the way home from camp. This could have been truly the last charge in your life for the Spirit to do something. You don't know. Don't wait to find out how many chances you've got left. Deal with the one you've got now. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this camp. Thank you for my seniors and youth leaders and all the people here that have been working for you all week overtime, Lord. The kids that I know that don't get any glory, but I know have been working just as hard as us counselors. I know they've been praying for their friends. I know they've been praying for other campers, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you for this opportunity, Father. One last chance for those of us that aren't giving you our all. Whatever we're holding back, Lord, put it on our hearts. Make it such a weight that we have to deal with it tonight. Break our hearts for you, Lord, and give us the motivation to do something with it. I pray you bless the rest of this time and the conversations we have. To your honor and glory, Father. Amen.
Amen.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
And I know I am.
And I know I am. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are washed away. Praise the Lord.
You can talk about me.
You can talk about me.
Just as much as you please.
Just as much as you please.
I'll talk about you.
I'll talk about you.
Down on my knees.
Down on my knees. You can talk about me just as much as you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are washed away. Praise the Lord.
No, you can't get to heaven.
No, you can't get to heaven.
On roller skates.
On roller skates.
No, you can't get to heaven.
No, you can't get to heaven.
On roller skates.
On roller skates. No, you can't get to heaven on roller skates. You roll right past those pearly gates. All my sins are washed away. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Thank you, seniors. Grab some s'mores. Talk to your counselors. Let's do this thing.
I got it.